Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, you can find us on all the social platforms, including Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube, and iTunes. Join me, Sophie, at Soccer Diva, Amanda, at Goonagirl 1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell, at One Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates. Oh, and never forget, always Arsenal. Welcome to another epic episode of the Highbury Squad. And guess what, people? The whole fam jam is here. That's right. Say hello, Amanda.
Hello, Amanda.
Well done. Nice and simple. And of course, our brother from another mother, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. Hola.
Hola. Hello, ladies. And hello, everybody listening.
All right. Okay. So here it is, you guys. They come thick and fast, but this one's come thicker and faster at the start of the season. And I hope that it's going to be a great weekend because the North London Derby is being played the day before my birthday, right?
Ooh.
So what I've been thinking is surely the Gunners can't ruin my birthday, can they? I don't think so. But just to go back two steps, I don't want to talk about it too much because we've all discussed it ad nauseum on Twitter and on other podcasts over the last couple of days. I did want to touch very briefly on the Liverpool game, just because the three of us haven't had a chance to talk about it together. And more importantly, not the result, not how we played, but more so about how that game might worry you going into the Tottenham game. So I'll start with you, Amanda. You predicted a 3-2 loss. You were close. It was a 3-1 loss. Super Kev was his always optimistic self, but maybe just forgot that maybe our defense still is a little shitey. And I went for a 3-3. I thought that maybe we could get a point up there. So tell me a little bit about what you saw and what concerns you going into the North London Derby.
Well, maybe I'm in the minority. I didn't think we'd win. That's why I said 3-2, we'd lose. I don't think we played that badly on the first half. I was really impressed with how we set up, where so many of my Liverpool friends have gone at me about the diamond formation and the fact that the 453 crosses came in and everything. But I would like to say, and I've said this 1,000 times, they scored from a corner, they scored from a penalty, and then they scored from a superb goal by Salah. So, look, if Pepe would have converted his chance, if Aubameyang would have converted his chance, then there was another one from Pepe. It's a different game. All I'll say is this, yeah? I do not want to see David Luiz ever do that again. It was the most blatant pull of the shirt that I've ever seen. Well, I'm so dramatic, but you know what I'm saying. That
you dramatic? No.
I know. Listen, I've just come back from work and I've had a dramatic day. So I'm trying to calm and remember I'm on a podcast. No, basically, you didn't even need VAR for that. So just look, stop doing it. Defend. Because I actually think in a weird way, he played well. David Luiz. I don't know why I feel like that, but I do. Second half, we were pants. I'm sorry, we were pants. But you're 2-0 down at Anfield because of Luiz's 1-0 down, we had a chance. I still felt we had a chance, you know. 2-0 down, it's all over for me. I was then going to count, I thought, 5 or 6, to be honest. Look, I've been taught quite wisely lately that we don't know what goes on in training. We don't know what goes on with the fitness of the players. We're sitting there going, why the hell was Xhaka playing? Why the hell was Danny playing? Because let me just back up a second. Danny was completely lost out there and he should have been substituted a lot earlier. But previous game, he was great. What I don't understand is why Danny was still on the pitch. We needed Torreira on much earlier than he came on. It made a difference. Torreira obviously scored a really good goal. But we don't know what goes on with their fitness. And Lacazette, it is very hard for the manager, I feel, with Lacazette, Aubameyang and Pepe, because we all want, as fans, we want to see them all play, because each brings different and each brings, as far as I'm concerned, I love them, right? But in his head, I don't think he thinks he can play all three at the same time, which is a shame. Now, I wasn't that disappointed at the end. I felt 3-1 was an okay scoreline. I felt they deserved it. There's no doubt about that. I felt we tried our best. I think the team spirit was there. I'm not disappointed at all. We're going to talk about Tottenham coming up in a second, but Kev, is there anything there you think I've said that you don't agree with?
Did you say me there?
Yeah, go on, Kev.
There's a few bits. You said you were happy with, you thought we played okay in the first half. I thought we got battered in the first half.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, it was all Liverpool. And yeah, we're going to have a couple of few breakaways. And we, unfortunately, or fortunately for that matter, we can't live our life on what if we'd have taken this, or if we got to make it happen.
Exactly.
I thought Unai Emery handed the initiative to Liverpool.
Because
he left probably the two most attacking fullbacks, arguably, in the Premier League with the ball. And yes, they didn't create much from there. But what that done to us, that pegged us back. That pushes the momentum onto us. So the defenders are constantly defending. And then what happens next? It's the war of attrition. You get so many balls coming into your box. The next minute, a corner, different delivery comes in, and Matip scores. That for me, is what broke our spirit. And then the David Luiz incident, I think that's more instinct than anything else. He holds that, he grabs him, and then he realizes, oh no, but it was right in front of the referee. It was a definite penalty. But I just think we couldn't. If you look across the pitch, especially in the centre of the midfield, I believe Liverpool outworked us. I really 100%. Do think they outworked us. Now, if we're going to be moving against the likes of Liverpool and Man City, we've got to be able to work as hard as they do. And these games only come down to a few minor details, guys, because we're talking high-level football here. But it's funny how they always get the breaks and we never. And that's what we have to look at. Liverpool got the breaks. Mo Salah went through, got the penalty. Mo Salah broke away and scored. There was a corner in the first half and Matip got in the end of it. We never got on the end of our call.
Got a shite defence and Salah's
world
class.
No,
it's not about that. It's not about our defence. We set them up to fail sometimes.
You see, I'm not talking about our defence as such, because I believe we defended okay when they were whipping the balls in.
Yeah.
I thought we defended okay at times.
Yeah.
But the key to it is this constant build-up of momentum that Liverpool generate, especially at Anfield. We have to be able to fight fire with fire. And I was so disappointed that our front three never played, because I really believe they all have such different qualities that they can fit in so special. Honestly, I really do. And I think Unai Emery, you said that, you know, you don't think he thinks he can play the front three. Well, do you know what? If he thinks we can't play the front three, he shouldn't be manager.
Would Wenger, hold on one second, you guys, hold on one second. Wenger would always play Bergkamp right. He'd always play his best players. Here's the problem, and I want to bring this back to you guys, because what Kevin is saying is right, and what Amanda, you're saying is right. However, what KC is saying is when we are this is one of the things about what I love about certain teams who go and play Barcelona. The teams that go at them, whether you win or lose, you're having a go, right? You have a player like Lacazette and he's on the bench. And it reminded me a little bit of that game just before Sanchez left, where Wenger benched Sanchez at Anfield. And we all, our hearts all dropped, because we were like, why are you benching the player that's the difference maker in our team? And what Lacazette does for this team enables the likes of Aubameyang and Pepe to do the things that they do. And I think that for the first time, I was very bummed at Emery, because I think he got it wrong.
Right, let me
and
jump
as,
in.
As people, wait, hold on one second. As people say, like, we set up really well, come on now. I just think that when teams go at City, look at Norwich.
Right,
Norwich gave Liverpool a better game than we did.
Right, hold on. And did they beat them?
No, but they had a go. They were never going
to
beat them.
We have gone to Anfield before and set up to go at them. And we have been hammered. So I don't.
Because they're better than us.
Yes, of
course. At the end of the day, they're better than
right,
us.
Right, so there's my point.
We're the Arsenal.
Hold on, you two. I don't think Emery could have won here either way. We do not have the players to challenge them. So he has set up to try and play on the break. He cannot win. We do not have the players. We need to write it off. They are Champions League. They nearly won the league. We're not in their league. So I think we can't judge him on that one. I'm sorry.
Amanda, can I ask you a question then?
Yeah.
Why play Ceballos wide?
Exactly.
Because, Kev, and I said at the beginning, we don't know who was fit, who could take the game and who couldn't. We don't know Lacazette isn't fit enough for the whole game. Okay.
Then why bring him on with 10 minutes to go? If he's on the bench,
right.
He can play 20 at least.
Right. You
why
don't
do
know that?
That.
He may have been trying to get him fit for top. We don't know anything. So I'm just going to err on that side. But on the other side, I don't know why he played that wide. I'm not saying he has chosen the correct formation. I'm saying he didn't want to get hammered. And I've been there so many years when we've got hammered and they weren't even European champions that season. So they are sublime in every area. The goalkeeper mucks up. We still don't take a chance from that. All I'm saying is we don't know. When Danny played at Newcastle, we loved him. When he played at Liverpool, he was terrible. Was it his fault? Was it his positioning? I don't know. I just don't think we can judge on that. I know you're talking about that game, and I get the point. All I'm saying is Pepe and Aubameyang convert those chances. That's not Emery's fault. I'm sorry, that's not Emery's fault. Pepe should have passed and Aubameyang should have scored.
No, but what Lacazette would have been able to do, and KC will vouch for me on
can't
this,
say
I know.
That,
because he was, no, let me, no, Lacazette enables the front two to be able to move faster, take better positions, because he is brilliant at holding up the ball. And against Liverpool, we needed a player, especially if Xhaka was playing, who's slow and is more of a distributor of the ball, to hold up the ball. Pepe took chances he shouldn't have. Pepe took dribbles he shouldn't have. And I don't want to hear that he dribbled past Virgil van Dijk and it's like the winning, you know, give him 5 stars. And that's his job, okay, to do that. Everyone went a little bit like crazy about that.
Yeah, but hold on.
No. That's his job to do that. What Lacazette would have been able to do, and Casey, correct me if I'm wrong, he holds up the play in moments where Aubameyang and Pepe seemed a little bit isolated on the break. Someone like Lacazette would have been able to help them take up even better positions, and we would have been more, I think, you know, prolific in how we would have been able to take those chances on the break. Yes, they should have buried their chances. 100% agree with you. But someone like Lacazette, I think, would have helped the cause in moments where our counters just broke down.
Right. Can I just say, and then I'm going to let Kev come in. What I'm going to say is as well, we don't know that about Lacazette. I love Lacazette. My God, I love them all.
What do you mean we don't know about Lacazette?
I'll tell
you what. He does hold up.
Right. I went to Chelsea away last year, and Lacazette lost us the game by giving the ball away in midfield. Maybe there is a slight fault to his game.
Aubameyang lost us the game against Spurs by missing a penalty. We could go all day long.
We're not talking about Aubameyang here. We're talking about Lacazette, okay? I was at Chelsea away.
Can I just finish?
Let me finish, right. My point is this. You're saying if Lacazette came on, we would have done this, this, and this. I'm not disputing that in a way, because I love Lacazette. I want to see him play every single game. But I think he went to set up and play on the break. That is what he intended to do. Did he play players in wrong positions? Maybe. But I just don't think we can judge on that game. Liverpool are so superior that I think they'll be the Invincibles this season. I've said it now. I thought it last year. They weren't far off. They won the league. Oh, I do think so. I thought they were going to win the league last year. I think they have, their momentum is phenomenal. We are nowhere near it.
Calm down, boo. Calm down.
I'm sorry, but that's how I feel.
How many games have gone?
Okay, we'll see.
Un, deux, trois games. Right.
Do you know what? They're not even in full speed yet, and look at them.
Yeah, but think about it, Amanda. Three games have gone. Arsenal are playing... Unai Emery's playing players out of position against them.
So do you think Guendouzi should have played?
No, hold on.
He's been one of our better players so far this season.
I don't think he should have been on the pitch. But
Torreira has to play this game.
100% if he's fit, Kev.
No. If he's fit, 90 minutes fit.
Yes, if he's 90 minutes fit.
No. Hold on a minute, Amanda. It's not about if he's 90% fit or 90 minutes fit. Because at the end of the day, how else is he going to get fit unless he starts the game.
You know, if he's carrying something and he can't do it.
Hold on one second. Time out, guys. Torreira played in Copa America. Do you know how many players played in tournaments this summer?
I'm not talking about that.
Torreira is not injured.
I'm not saying he's injured.
The game changed when Torreira came on and he scored. Casey is 100% correct. Torreira has to start every game. I'm not disputing it.
And I agree with that. I love Torreira. I don't really want Guendouzi on the pitch or Xhaka. But my point is this. If he's carrying a slight knock, we don't know. He's not carrying a knock.
I'm telling you that.
You don't work in the fitness team. You don't know.
Okay, excuse me. Hold on one second. There's been no report of an injury to Torreira. Torreira's been given a rest because he played in Copa America. And everyone blaming Xhaka here in this game, it's absolutely asinine to blame him here. And I'm sick and tired of him being the scapegoat. He's made some glaring mistakes at big moments, yes, because everyone's carrying what he did against Crystal Palace. And was he slow in this game? Yes.
He's always slow.
Should he have started? But hold on a second. It's not his fault that we lost this game.
I didn't say it was.
Okay, let me take a step back as we lead into the North London derby here. And let's look at what really happened. We didn't lose the game in midfield. Once again, we lost the game in defence, and we're not going to know what kind of team we are in defence until Bellerin comes back. And hello, what an injury he's coming back from. Everyone thinking Bellerin's going to come back and be the same Bellerin? We're going to have to wait and see. Tierney, he's not going to be back until October. Monreal might be going back to Spain. We have Kolasinac, who's been through a horrific summer and a god-awful, life-threatening situation. And then we have the crazy Greek, who seems to be getting away with absolutely everything. And then you have David Luiz, who has Mustafi moments, but I think I still have faith in him that he's going to be fine. And then you have Callum Chambers, who played so well and got dropped. So let me ask you guys this. As we go into the North London derby, who are you starting at the back? Because let's face it, we can score three goals. We can score four. We can score one. We can score two. But our defence is our Achilles heel once again until all of those other players get fit. Casey, let's start with you. Who are you starting at the back? That is where our Achilles heel is. That's our problem. What are you going to do against Tottenham?
I would partner Callum Chambers with Luiz. And obviously the fullbacks speak for themselves right now. Monreal is probably off, isn't he? Apparently he's leaving. But they might get one more game out of him. If not, Kolasinac will play. But I think Unai Emery's going to go with the same back four. Or should I say back five? Because I think he trusts Socrates a bit more than Chambers. But I don't think Chambers put a foot wrong at Newcastle. I thought he was excellent. So that's the way I see it. But the way I think the manager's going to go, he's going to keep the same back four or five.
Amanda, what would you do with I put a poll out and most people were happy to stick with David Luiz and Sócrates. What are your thoughts going into the North London Derby with regards to how we set up the back with the tinkering Emery these days? We're going to play three, we're going to play four, we're going to...
Do you know what? I don't think half our defence is good enough to play against teams like Liverpool, City, Tottenham anyway. I don't think it matters if he brings in Chambers or keeps Luiz or Sócrates. I think they're all, if I have to say this, pretty average. We are waiting, aren't we, for Tierney to come in. We're waiting for Holding to get back. We're waiting for Bellerin. And as you said, all of them have got, I mean, Holding, severe injury as well. So I've got no view on it. Whoever he plays, I'm not confident with him anyway. So he can play who he wants, if I'm honest. That's how I feel at the moment. Because I'm not confident with any of them.
And I concur. I don't think most Arsenal fans are confident with them. But the problem is that we know we've got a problem at the back. And you said something at the start of the show, which is 100% correct, and we've all talked about it, is, you know, as many goals as Aubameyang has scored last season, he still needs three or four chances to bury one. He's not super Kevin Campbell or Ian Wright, is he? He needs more. He's one of those strikers that needs two or three to get one. I think this is why Lacazette is very important. The two of them, you know, when you go out for a drink with your friend, there's certain friends that you love hanging out with more than others. And I think Aubameyang and Lacazette feed off each other, and that would scare Tottenham in so many different ways. And I think if Pochettino sticks with he's not going to play I don't think he's going to play Jan Vertonghen, because Jan Vertonghen doesn't have the pace of Sanchez to keep up with an Aubameyang. And yet he's not as good as a defender as Jan Vertonghen. So for me, most of the conversations I've had with my friends who support Tottenham is they are fearful of what we can do in attack, but they are also fearful now of what they're not doing in defense. So Tottenham, the last 22 games have been super poor. And what most Tottenham fans are saying is the Champions League final masked a lot of their pain. Because if you look at their results and Man United's results, they've been absolutely atrocious. At Chelsea, that would get a manager sacked. But I also think that just because they lost against Newcastle, Arsenal fans are getting a little bit cocky. It's still the North London derby. KC, do you think we're going into this game a little bit too cocky because Tottenham are feeling vulnerable? The end of the day, you've been involved in these matches. What are your thoughts on that, especially with regards to the so-called meltdown going on at Tottenham?
I don't think there's a meltdown going on at Tottenham. I just think there's some issues within the camp, personnel issues with the manager and certain players. Obviously, that when these players don't play, it makes them weaker. I think Arsenal, rightly so, are going into the game full of confidence. We're the home team. We've just obviously had a litmus test, acid test at Liverpool, which we failed on, but, you know, results kind of went our way. So, you know, we have to dust ourselves down and, you know, we could quickly erase that Liverpool defeat if we obviously do the business against the Spuds. I think we've got the form, guys, up front especially. And playing the front three, I believe we've got the best chance of defeating them with the front three all playing together. Now, will it happen? I'm not sure. But I think the key area for us is going to be the midfield, not the defence. Our midfield have to be able to get the better of Tottenham's midfield. If our midfield get the better of them, we will win the game. But if our midfield doesn't get the better of them, then it's going to be a tough afternoon for us, I think.
Amanda, you are someone who loves to approach these big 5-6 games with caution. I was talking to my cousin this morning. I was talking to George and we were both saying, listen, I think we need to just take a beat. I think Tottenham are going to be up for this game. I think they're going to want to prove something after losing at home to Newcastle. And I agree. there has to be something going on at Tottenham for their form to be so bad over 22 games. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes to a North London derby, it's a totally different ball game. What are your thoughts about the cockiness on our front, the lack of confidence on their front? Is Eriksen going to play? What do you think about kind of the rhetoric in terms of going into this one?
I'm not cautious about this one, but we'll do our predictions later.
What? Say what?
No, I'm not cautious at all. I think we played all right, Liverpool. So not second half. I mean, I feel that we are confident. I don't see cockiness. I don't think anyone's cocky, but maybe you've seen a different timeline or Facebook or friends to you. We've not really started yet. I normally start with the North London derby about Thursday evening, and then we just can, or Thursday day, and we start from then. I'm confident. I think our confidence, I don't think many teams are going to go to Liverpool and win. Sorry, I don't. So write it off at the moment. It's done. We've been there. I still think our confidence is okay. I think we've got the players to do it. The crowd will be up for it. Tottenham lost against a very, very poor Newcastle that we played, and yet they weren't that bad against Tottenham. I think that I don't see cockiness, but I'm feeling quite positive.
Okay, positive is good. Confidence is good. So Kev just brought up a really good point. He feels like this game's going to be won and lost in midfield. So the $64 million question, because we all want Laka, Oba and Pepe to start. And I think if that would scare the bejesus out of Tottenham. This is what they don't want. They don't want Emery to start Laka. I think at home he will. But what Kev said was the game's going to be won and lost in midfield. So if you had your druthers, and we'll start with UKC, who and how does our midfield set up? Who's playing? Who's starting?
Who is starting? Is Torreira has to start the game. I believe Willock, who I've been really impressed with, he will start the game. And I'm going to go with Ceballos. All good on the ball, all can play and all can run. I think because if you're not mobile against Tottenham, you're going to be in trouble. Xhaka just isn't mobile enough.
So what's the formation then that you're seeing?
4-3-3.
4-3-3.
Yeah.
And I think against Tottenham, that would probably be the best option. Amanda, do you agree with that? Do you agree with the personnel that future Arsenal manager KC has set up there?
Oh, I think two of the definites for me were definitely Willock. He'll be up for it. Definitely. We definitely need him. I'm really, really rate him, a bit like Kev does as well. 100% with Torreira. Oh God, 100%. It seems weird that I'm disagreeing with Kev. Xhaka should be nowhere near the pitch. Too slow. We'll slow it up. We'll lose the ball in midfield, and that's where we will lose it. But they've got a very good, strong midfield. And 4-3-3, I think we're going to have to go with that. And yes, Pepe, Lacazette and Aubameyang.
Okay, so
we need strength in midfield. I don't want Guendouzi playing now.
Are you not a fan?
I never have been from day one. If you go back to our pod from game three, when the whole world was saying how wonderfully the prospect, blah, 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 I told you all to calm down about him. I'm not a big fan. I think he's got, I've got a future, but I don't think he's what I see people think he is. That's what I'm saying. I think he runs around like a headless chicken sometimes.
I think it's more potential, Amanda.
Yeah, sorry, that's the word, potential.
Yeah, it's more potential.
Yeah,
he's got potential.
But, Kev, honestly, on podcast 3 or 4, you two were raving, and I said to you, I that's how I felt. I just thought, all right, calm down, everyone. I've seen this before. Nicholas Bentner had bloody potential.
No, Amanda, what you got to understand is this kid's been cut from obscurity in France. And he came in and he'd done a decent job. You can't say he never done a decent job.
I think he did an okay job, but didn't go mental like the whole bloody world did.
Yeah, but Amanda, he's only a kid.
I've not said he's not going to make it, but I don't see why he should be playing every single game. I don't think his positioning is that good either. But
no, he's not. He's learning on the job.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
But can't we
he's
see
learning on the job.
Problem
and if
is...
we had it our way, we would have had a different midfielder in there for sure. Of course we would.
Yes.
But the problem was we didn't have one. So he had to play.
Exactly.
I mean, I couldn't imagine, what's his name? Ryan Sessegnon. I don't even know if I've said it right. He is a good prospect. I can't see him playing against Guendouzi. That would make... And the thing is, we're sitting here saying, look, we all agree, actually, on the teams, don't we? So if I'm assuming you agree on that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And we agree. Don't mean he's going to play it, does it? It's like...
No, but I think, you know, North London derbies are moments where heroes are made. These are the games. I put a tweet out earlier saying if you were on the... desert island with Tom Hanks and Wilson from Castaway and you had one North London derby that you could watch over and over again that would help with your survival, what would it be? And there's two or three, four good ones to choose from. And this is a moment for someone to become a hero. That 4-2 last season where Torreira scored and took his shirt off, we had fallen in love with him before that. But then when he did that, we fell in love with him so much deeper and so much more. And I think this game is really set up for someone like a Ceballos, a Pepe, to endear themselves and make their mark at Arsenal. So if I was going to ask you guys for that moment where you feel someone has the potential to become the hero, is it Aubameyang even after missing that penalty, which I'm sure has haunted him for the whole summer? Where do you see that heroic moment coming from in terms of, you know, let's just say Laka, Oba, Ceballos, Pepe start? Is it going to be like a defensive header? Where do you think that heroic moment could come from?
Willock.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that one, but I don't like it.
It's very different. Can you imagine us playing in a North London derby? Saying that, Kevez. So I think it comes from, as I said it, I just thought.
Thanks, Amanda.
I actually meant me and Sophie. I don't class you as us.
I'm not your brother anymore. You see what I mean?
Kevin. I'm not sure there's going to be a better quote all season.
That is so me to do that, to think something, say it, and then go, oh, yeah, no, I didn't mean you.
Thanks a bunch.
You'll always be my pod brother, but the amount of pods you're doing, I might not be your pod sister anymore. Who knows? Who knows?
Ivory squad is first.
Yes, don't forget that. Right, anyway, so Kev. What was it like to score in a North London derby?
I mean, seriously, Kev. Seriously, tell us. Take us through the moment. Just take it play by play.
It's got to be better than sex. I'm sorry.
It has to be better than sex.
Yeah, it has to be, Kev.
Even the greatest sex you've ever had in your whole life, it's got to be better than that.
Because of all the build-up, right? Because of all the build-up, and this was the game was at Highbury. I don't know if you remember, we beat them 2-0. It was a Sunday 4 o'clock game. And Wrighty got the first, and then Anders Limpar passed me a ball through the middle.
Oh, the smooth Swede.
And it was at the north bank end as well.
Yeah.
So I took the ball away from the defender and I fired a shot into the ground and it went into the corner. And I ran across to the east stand, Amanda, where you were probably going mental. Oh,
I was always going mental. Go on.
And I done a thing with my hands and a boom, like a shot, bow. And it was just like all the emotion come rushing to your head. It's like, honestly, it's like 50 orgasms in one.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Just imagine.
Only 50.
Only 50. Well, that's just a term. That's just a figure of speech. It might be 100 for you. I don't know. But it's all come at once because when you score then you see the crowd. Because, you know, funny thing is when you're playing, you know the crowd's there, but you don't actually see you. Imagine that. You're playing in front of a full house And you don't actually see until the goal goes in and you hear the noise all of a sudden explode in your head.
I've never asked you that, actually. Yeah. What do you see when you run towards the crowd?
It's kind of like
it's like a blur.
Right.
Because you can't, because you can't really make out faces because you're concentrating so much.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's put that to 150 orgasms. Eh?
Yeah,
let's
I think we'll go 150. And
against Spurs,
yeah.
it's 150
yeah.
orgasms.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Plus, 150 plus. No, it's so special. And then to win the game as well, you just know all the Gooners are going to be over the moon. You know, sometimes you play well, sometimes you don't play well. But all the Gooners are so proud that you win. So you're always going to get a pat on the back. Well done. You know, we beat the Spurs. Everybody's in a good mood. When you lose.
Yeah, it's the worst feeling in the world, isn't it?
What was it like?
It's totally the opposite.
What was it like the next day if you scored and we won the derby?
Well, we're buzzing because we're usually coming to train to warm down and stuff. So the whole team's buzzing. You don't feel as many aches and pains the next day as you would if you lost.
It's just like good sex, yeah.
You're still KC, how 150 orgasms in one, baby.
Yeah. So after you've had your 150 orgasms scoring the goal and then you have a cigarette, you know, and you're moving on.
Forget that.
Cigarette.
You know what I'm saying.
I know
Come
what
on.
You're saying.
Calm down, everyone. And then you've got to carry on playing the game. How do you regroup, or are you still in that zone when you've scored, the euphoria, the celebration, and then, okay, we still got 20 minutes left, half an hour left. How do you bring yourself back down into the moment of the game?
Sophie, you got to remember, if you scored a goal and you're having 150 orgasms at once, your teammates are having 75.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
Right?
Definitely not as much as you.
So everybody's hype. And then you get somebody like Tony Adams who starts pointing at his head and zoning you out from noticing the crowd and everything like that, getting you back into game mode. And usually it's when you're on the way back to the center circle and getting into your own half, you've already zoned back in. Because now we've got to win the game. Because there's no point scoring and taking the lead if you're not going to hold on to it and win the game, because that makes the orgasm linger.
Yeah.
A lot more.
That's the best orgasm of all. Okay, so let's do this one because...
Actually, I'm just going to correct you there. The best orgasm of all is a multiple one. So if we've got a hat trick, it would have been even better. It would have just gone on for weeks, Soph.
Well, that's Amanda, the ultimate climax,
Amanda,
isn't it, really?
Ultimate climax.
Hey, Amanda, if you have 150 orgasms at one time, that is more than multiple, my darling.
I'm surprised you're still alive. I'm surprised you're both still alive. Okay, so let me ask you this, because can we just get back to a little bit? Before we have the 150 orgasms, there's the foreplay, right? And everyone loves a little bit of foreplay, fans and players. So here we are, Amanda and I, we're fans. We love the Arsenal. Kev, you've worn the shirt, you've scored in the North London Derby. We prepare for the North London Derby in different ways. Everyone starts talking. Amanda just said Thursday's her day. That's when she really zones in and gets into it. So I would love it from our perspectives as fans. And then you, KC, and I love where this conversation's going in terms of the perspective of the player preparing for this, because Man United, great. The rivalry in the 90s. I mean, it's the best rivalry ever in the history of the Premier League. But the preparation for the North London Derby is a different beast. Amanda, Thursday, talk us through your foreplay North London Derby style. And then KC can kind of talk us a little bit through as a player, what you're thinking, how you prepare and when the mental lock-in starts.
So what will happen tomorrow morning, because I often wake early, is I'll be on social media just giving it about the North London Derby. I don't give it on my Facebook because most of my lot are Tottenham fans and I don't give it because I can't take it. Twitter's very, very different. It's mainly Arsenal and a few others, but just no Tottenham. So it'll be a social media that I'll start buzzing. I start to the climax. I start to like get excited and like, oh, North. I start thinking about it.
Did you say climax?
No, I said I did.
Premature. Don't get premature.
I'm not going to be premature. And then it just builds. And then I start to get really, really excited. I love the derbies. I absolutely love it. I actually prefer going to Tottenham, although I haven't been for 3 years. For the reasons is I used to love it. I used to love going there better than our derbies at the Emirates or Highbury. But it will just build and get exciting and making arrangements to see who I'm going to see before the game or who I'm going with and what I'm doing. And then Saturday evening, I'll start to crack myself. I will start to plutz. And go, what happens if he doesn't pick the right team? What happens if someone gets injured? What happens if someone, VAR, goes against us in the 91st minute? And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't live. Because where I live, and a lot of my friends are Tottenham, as I said, it would be a nightmare. It always is. So it's the fine line of excitement and nerves. That's exactly what it's like. And it's, I say Thursday morning, I'm starting now because obviously I'm talking about it now. But
do you sleep well the night before? Do you sleep well? Then, unless it's hot, of course, you've been bitching about the summer heat.
Bitching about it, but now it's just and Kev fantastic.
For the last 3 days.
The oven has turned off outside and now it's a normal weather and we can all breathe. I'm busy Saturday night going out with friends and actually a lot of them are Arsenal, funny enough. So I will be a one Tottenham fan who goes to Tottenham. So I forgot about that. Actually, that wasn't planned very well. I will be a bit hyper Saturday evening. My other half will have to calm me down a little bit because I'll be like, ready, let's go now at like 9 o'clock in the morning for a 4:30 kickoff. Yeah, get really excited about the derbies. This one more than any, obviously, not West Ham, not Chelsea. I think it's new age, Kev. What do you think? I know that there's people out there, gooners, that hate Chelsea more than Tottenham, and I don't understand that. No one comes close.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's our age. I think these are 20-year-olds that just hate Chelsea and haven't grown up with the top. I don't know, but I was born to love Arsenal and hate Tottenham. That's it. There's nothing else in the mix of that. I can't stand Chelsea and I can't stand United, but that's a new, if you know what I mean, newer than when I was growing up at school and stuff. So no, I'm very excited and I'm very positive.
Okay. So KC as a player and what I think
let's hear yours, Sophie.
All right. Okay. I'll go first. Yours. All right. Okay. So I remember, God, we all loved Highbury. What a place.
Yeah.
And for so many years, we owned them and it was beautiful, poetic. And it was almost like they knew going into most every game back then that we were going to be the victorious ones. And then, you know, you've got those moments with, Pires, Henri's goal, the statue, the moment, winning the league at White Hart Lane. Can I just tell you that that is probably one of the most, as much as it's been lauded by Arsenal fans, when we talk about moments in football and sports, to win the league, and we did it at United, but to win the league at White Hart Lane has to be one of the most epic moments in my football memory. It was so euphoric. It was, take your 150 orgasms and times them by, infinity. And so for me now living in the US, the experience is a little bit different. But what I love is how the community has built up here. We saw it from the tour in the summer. We saw it from when Arsenal came here 3 years ago. So I love that there's still that vibe and that feeling. I could go down to the pub in LA and there's 500 Arsenal fans in the pub watching the game. I could go to a pub here, in Orange County and find Arsenal fans just wearing their shirts, euphoric for the game. They understand what it means to play Tottenham Hotspur. And I think that's a credit to the Arsenal community in terms of how we've been able to spread that, how we've been able to keep it alive in this day and age of modern football where, as Amanda said, young fans kind of see things differently, follow different teams differently. Andy and Jason had this show on TalkSport the other night where some fans were calling in and say they follow players and they follow players to other teams and they love the player more than the team. I just, that, my mind's blown. I don't get that. So for me, having lived it, going to Highbury week in, week out, and then going to the Emirates, but now living in the US, you know, this is the game. This is the one that we always want to win. You never want to lose against Tottenham. And you look at the players and you rely on them. They become like your family. You don't want them to let you down, but as a supporter, you also don't want to let them down. So that's how I feel about it. It's just an amazing moment. And I rang the bell in a different way because you guys hate the cowbell. KC, I don't know, as a player, we would never know what that feels like. Maybe you can give us an insight into how you prepare for that moment and what it means as a player to hate them maybe as much as we do.
Well, it's quite funny. You know, when it's Derby week, it's amazing how many fans you actually meet and engage with. And everybody's got encouragement to say, you know, make sure you do Spurs, make sure you win. And, you know, it'd be people who in general life, they, you wouldn't even know they support Arsenal or whatever, but everybody's kind of starting to get excited. I don't know if any of you saw that Tony Adams video on Twitter today.
Oh, I saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh,
I saw
my
it.
God. That gets you, that got me buzzing straight away because it reminded me of, you know, even in training of the week of the Derby, Tony was like that. So your week is slowly building, but you're trying, you are trying, you're trying to do things all the right way. You're trying to prepare just as you would any other game. But let's be honest, this isn't any other game. It's not any other game. And, you know, the closer you get, the intensity in training goes up. The tackles start flying in a little bit, and many a time the manager has to say, right, guys, we're going to stop now because I don't want anybody getting injured in training, because there's just that edge to it. You get to match day and you meet up. We used to meet at South Farts Golf Club. Just go and have a pre-match meal there. And then we used to leave there. The manager will name the team and subs or whatever. Then we'd drive from South Farts Golf Club down to Highbury. And then you start feeling that the streets are starting to get packed as you get closer. And you got all the fans in the street, you know, wishing you well and stuff like that. You get to the ground, you get in the dressing room, everybody, you could see tension on people's faces. That's the other thing that I think a lot of the time you engage people when you're not playing a derby match. And they just look so relaxed. But on a derby day, everyone seems to be a bit more tense. There's a bit of more of an edge. You can feel the atmosphere as well, the uncertainty in the air as a player. But again, it's our job to try and make people, the fans feel calm. Some players are nervous, not saying they're not, but again, we're out there to do the job. As long as we do the business, we've trained for it, we've prepared for it. You go off your set pieces, you do all the things that you expect to be done in order for you to get the win. And then before you know it, you're going out for the warm up and you're savoring the atmosphere. And, you know, you come back in. That's when you really, really zone in. You're zoned in. Tony's going around individuals or whatever, saying his bit. George Graham at the time would say his thing. Stuart Houston or Theo Foley or whoever, Pat Rice or whatever. You tend to find all the coaching staff from the club would be in there, giving good information and stuff. And then you go out there and you go out there to do battle. And that's what it was. It was war. You're going to war against the opposition. And, you know, most of the time we came out on top, but, you know,
you got my spine tingling, Casey. You got my spine tingling. Come on.
It's the infinity orgasms, my darling. I'm winning. That's what it is.
Can I ask you this? Did you guys ever talk about the fans before? Did you talk about that, like in the dressing room?
I tell you why. Because at Highbury, you know the where the home team dressing room was, it was on virtually on the main road, wasn't it?
Yes.
Not yep. Abner Road.
Yes, yep. It was.
So it's there, and you open the window slightly, and you can hear the buzz.
Yeah.
Of all the gooners. So, you know, we know what it means to the fans, because at the end of the day, we're all fans. So, you know, make sure we get the job done so the fans could, it's bragging rights. We want to be, as players, we know if we win, we'll get the bragging rights anyway. But as supporters and fans, you can go to work proud and you could take the mickey and you could do all the good stuff that make you feel proud to be a Gooner. That meant a lot to us as well.
That's amazing. All right. So I'm not sure there's much more that we could, I don't know how to follow that up other than maybe taking a beat and thinking about things here and starting on predictions, Amanda. What do you think?
Yeah.
Is there anything you would like to, I'm sorry, you've probably had.
She's spent.
I know, she wants a cigarette.
Or a vape thing, one of them vapes.
No, never cigarette and don't even go there about vaping. I don't want any of that. I'm high on life. I don't need any substance, not even alcohol, thank you.
On a cheeky mimosa, you love a little Prosecco. Oh,
every nice day. Mimosa will go down.
No, my new drink is a pina colada if I drink. So
a new drink? Is Are we in the 80s?
I had one on the holiday and it was delicious. I've never had one before. So
coconut, yes.
Yes, and rum. Listen, I know my
lovely
stuff.
Bunch of coconuts.
I got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Still steady on.
This podcast has gone way south.
Do you know what's even funnier? We're actually recording in the afternoon. It's not like it's like a late night podcast. Like it's not. People,
we orgasms are and rum and mimosas. Listen, and pina coladas.
Do you know what? Listen, next? Right? Listen, we'll all be having orgasms at 4:30 or not 4:30, about 5 o'clock on Sunday night. If Lacazette goes through, puts a Bamiyang in, and he smashes the net, I'm telling you now, I'll have the loudest one. But anyway, moving on. Let's go to predictions because we need to.
Okay, all right.
It's so going down a path we shouldn't be going down the path.
Okay, so I'm going to go to you first, Amanda. Two things. I would love your prediction, and you've already kind of outlined your hero, but let's reiterate that. So I want to know who you think could be the hero in the game and what your prediction is for this grand old North London derby a day before my birthday.
Right. I've thought about this. I've changed my mind a few times.
That ain't good.
No, I've thought about this.
Right, Casey. Amanda thinking is always a bit of an issue.
I know, it's not good. It becomes very boring when I think. But I'm going for a win. There's no doubt in my mind. I've said that. I'm just not sure if I'm going to go 3-1 or 3-2 to us. I'd go 3-2 because knowing Socrates, he'd probably copy Louise and pull a Harry Kane. Harry Kane's getting a penalty. We know that. We just know that, don't we? 3-2 to us. Who's going to be our hero? I think Willock will score. For some reason, I've just got this in my head. But the absolute hero could be Torreira. I think Torreira's going to be our pit bull if he plays. So, yeah. I am verging towards Lacazette. I'm stuck with this. So let's go Lacazette, Torreira.
Hold on one second. You're all over the place.
No,
so
Lacazette,
Torreira or Lacazette.
All those three are going to score.
Okay. All right, cool. And I have no doubt. If he doesn't start Torreira, I think everyone will implode. I think there'll be a Twitter
I think
meltdown.
The team will implode.
I got one more for you as well before we go to KC. Does VAR have a major say in this game? Because up until the Newcastle game, really, Tottenham were the VAR kings. You know, we've seen them benefit from VAR in so many different ways, especially in the Champions League last season. Do you see, in a nutshell, 30 seconds, do you see VAR having an impact on our game? Because it's going to be very physical and very competitive.
Okay, anyone that listens to me, and you two know I hate VAR, don't want it in the game, I don't agree with it, I don't like anything about it. But you can't say they've benefited if the decisions are right. At City, it was right.
That's fair.
That's my point. I don't like VAR, don't want it. It's going to ruin. It ruined it the other day.
Amanda.
That's all I'm saying.
Amanda. So, in the first half, Lamella's challenge in the box, was that a penalty, yes or no?
Sorry, Kev, which one are you talking about? What game?
Man City,
Tottenham. Spurs. Okay. But let me just go back. And you know what I think about penalties. You can't have penalties on VAR because it's subjective. And again, I don't remember, to be honest. I'm sorry, Kev. I can't. You know what I'm like. I don't remember any games.
Okay, you can't remember.
Generally, I can't.
So you can't say it's got it right then.
No. Okay. No, I didn't say it's got it right. I said it hasn't benefited Spurs. If you think that's a penalty,
of course it has.
Hold on.
If it's a penalty, if it should have been a penalty against
you,
it's not given, or the referee never saw it, surely it should go to VAR.
But Kev,
it's just like if somebody got tripped.
Yeah. But Kev, how many times have you and I disagreed about penalties? So I might sit here and go, no, it wasn't a penalty. So it hasn't benefited them. That's my point. Unless it's factual, I can't talk about VAR because it shouldn't be there for penalties. I'm sorry, it shouldn't. Because how many times do we have to sit there and go, oh, I've watched it 10 times and I still can't work it out. Yes, did he touch him? Did he touch his hand?
But that was clear. I think what Casey's saying is the Lamella incident was...
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. And I probably agreed with you at the time, but I don't lie. I can't remember. But I don't like VAR. I don't want it in the game. I just feel that we have to go with it. We will get chance. We will get VAR... incidences that will go for us and against us. I do believe that. I hate it. I don't want it here. So I don't really know what you're asking me.
So the answer is we don't know because you just never know what's going to happen.
No, you don't. And also again, look, Kev, you know, me and you have argued about penalties before. That's what probably goes on there. And I don't like it. It's ruining the game for me. I just don't like it at all.
Yeah, but you know what, Amanda? I'd rather us argue about the penalties. You say one was a penalty, I say the other one wasn't.
Mm.
Then go to something that's supposed to sort all this out and it still doesn't sort it out.
You can't, because Kev, you can't sort out an opinion. It's subjective. You can't do that. One man's going to go yes, one man's going to go no.
Yeah, but what's the point in having it then?
Exactly. You can't have it for penalties, only for factual. There's my point.
Excuse me, VAR. I'm doing the referee thing. I'm doing the little television screen thing right now, and I'm taking this debate to VAR, and I'm giving the decision to KC. He gets a penalty, and we're moving on.
You're so biased. Okay.
Can I just add Sophie?
Yes,
Sophie, can I just add as well? Let's be brutally honest now. Amanda, Sophie, you've watched football a long time. Now,
indeed.
Tottenham at Manchester City, the corner comes over. Both players go for the header. It brushes against the arm of, who was it, the centre-back? Of City.
Was it Laporte?
Yes. You know, for Jesus's goal that got chalked off?
Yep.
It's come off, what's his name? What's the centre back's name? Not Stones, the other one.
The Argentine? Spanish.
He's French.
Laporte.
He's
Spanish, yeah.
No, he's French.
Isn't he Spanish? No, is he Spanish?
Is he Spanish? Or is he French, I think.
Wait,
anyway.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah.
Anyway, whatever he is, it's brushed off his arm. It could have easily brushed off the defender's arm. But they both genuinely went for the ball. So are you telling me if the same thing happened on Sunday, against Arsenal, right? We score the winner in the 90th minute and the referee brings it back because of VAR, and there's no way you can actually get out the way of the ball because you've gone for a header.
That's the rule.
No.
That's the problem with this situation. People should have been angry at the rule, not the VAR decision. They should have been angry at the rule, new rule, not the VAR decision.
Yeah, but... Sophie,
and Laporte is French.
He's French, I was just about to say.
Sophie, here's the problem. If it hits the defender's arm before it hits Laporte's arm, is that a penalty or is the goal given?
It was Laporte, or was it Otamendi, or was it Laporte?
No, it was Laporte.
Okay. So what's your question? Ask it again.
So if the ball hits the defender's arm before it hits Laporte's arm, what decision do you reckon VAR is going to give?
Here's
or
the
person dealing with VAR.
Fortunately, we're at the mercy of these new rules.
That's the problem.
It's not VAR. It's the rule. It's the new. Last season that would have been goal.
Right. Hold on. Both of you are talking over each other. Kev, just finish. Go on.
They will disallow the goal.
Well, you asked me the question. I was answering the question. I'm just saying.
I couldn't hear you. So I'm saying for me, they would disallow the goal. What would they do for you?
I would agree. I can't argue with that. I can't. But the problem that we're facing and the issue in that particular game, everyone went insane about VAR ruining.
And it was the
rule.
Yes. Well, the thing is, this new law that's come out, no one even understands it. Even half the pundits don't get it, because you're saying the same thing, Kev. If it leads to a goal and it's for a handball, then the goal's disallowed. If it's a penalty, it'll lead to a penalty. And we're sitting there, and you're right, but I don't like VAR. She asked me the question.
Well, I hate it. I think it should be scrapped.
I think it's rubbish, but we're of a different age again. I don't know. I don't know anyone that likes it. But go on. So I've said...
Let me ask you this. Let's just bring it back to the predictions and the whatever and the VAR thing. Here's the thing. This season, so far this season, you could argue that VAR's got it right based on the rules of the game. And unfortunately, it's becoming a little bit like American sports, where they're adapting the rules season on season now. It's been happening here in the NFL. They change the rules every year to make the game as fair of a playing field as possible. I don't think any fan liked this new rule, and that's what the issue was. So hopefully VAR won't be the star of the show and a factor in the North London derby. And I fear that we're going to have 10 minutes of extra time in this match, because it's too competitive. It's very aggressive, and we might find ourselves in that situation. So with that said, KC, what is your prediction, and who do you think can be the hero in this match?
3-1 Arsenal. Star man is going to be Nicola Pepe. He's finding his feet, and I think he's going to find spaces and be able to ghost past players and prove to be a real handful on the day. He's going to create space for Lacazette and Aubameyang, and I think we're going to beat them 3-1. I really do.
I think that Aubameyang is going to redeem himself from missing the penalty, and he's going to have a moment. And let's be fair, Lacazette and Aubameyang had two amazing moments in that 4-2 victory, as did Torreira. My gut says 2-1, but I'm fearful of the fact that we can only let one goal in. And as Amanda said, if Harry Kane gets a penalty, then someone might, set pieces are a huge concern for me, you guys, and they're good at set pieces. They've got a lot of, they've got a lot of weapons that can convert from set pieces. If we can keep our shit together on set pieces, then I think we'll be okay in this match. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 to Arsenal and Aubameyang to be the hero. And we can all walk off into the sunset and have a pina colada, all right, and 150 orgasms.
No, 75, darling.
75.
75 and have a goal.
Bragging rights until next year.
We've got to win this game for many reasons. Okay, not only the bragging rights and beating Spurs and everything, we just need to win it to get the momentum back, just because of the little blip at Liverpool. But
I'll tell you what else, Amanda.
And go on, Kevin. You tell me.
If we win the game, that creates a 5-point gap between us after 4 games, and usually we're always playing catch up against
them. Yeah.
So I think
I'll tell you something, Kev, you're right. They won't want to come to us on Sunday. They've lost. Okay, I know we've lost, but we've lost in a very different manner to the flipping near on champions. They've lost at home to Newcastle. Their fans are on their backs a little bit at the moment. You know, all these stats are coming out about Pochettino and their last away game and everything. I don't think they're going to be as confident as us. That's what I'm thinking. So it could, what we need, listen, every Arsenal fan on the planet that ever listens to this, if you're at the ground, you need to be screaming at 4:30. We need to push that team on. They need to come out like they've never come out, like they've never had an orgasm. There we go.
Very true.
I think the fans are going to be well up for this.
Well, I'm going to be, yes.
Listen, Tottenham are coming into this like wounded animals. Beware the wounded animal. Let's proceed with caution. We also lost. It's a perfect scenario. Tottenham need to bounce back. We need to bounce back. There's nothing like a North London derby. And let's not forget, Unai Emery also has to have a great game here. He's got to make the right choices picking the team. He's got to go back to being brave with his substitutions as he was last season. You know, there's a lot of weapons that Tottenham have, but we also have weapons too. I don't know if the North London derby has been set up any better than it has maybe in the last two or three seasons. You know, with Manchester United still a hot mess, Chelsea in a total evolution period, we have a chance to make top four. There's no doubt about it. And we won't know what team we are until maybe the Tierneys of the world and the Bellerins and the Holdings, as we said, will come back. All we hope is that we put in an effort, and at home, I think that we will. And as you said, Amanda, fans need to get behind this team, and I think they will. So I could go on and on. We could all go on and on talking about this game. But unfortunately, Amanda's got to go and do some. Are you going to make chicken tonight?
No.
Oh, nice.
No, not chicken tonight. I want. So what's your prediction, Soph?
Oh, I said 2-1.
2-1. Kev's gone 3-1. I've gone 3-2. So we've all gone for a win. Brilliant.
And we want to hear from you, obviously, our dedicated listeners. Chime in at Highbury Squad on Twitter and let us know what you think, what your feelings are before the game, what your predictions are before the game. I actually think that as much as we've been talking about the players, I think Unai Emery is the key to us winning or losing this game. And I haven't said that before, and I'm not trying to pile on, and I'm not one of the Arsenal fans who was calling for his head after we lost against Liverpool. That is moronic, let's be honest. But he's got to get this right. He really does. And I hope he picks the right team, you guys. I really do.
But guys, can I ask a question to the fans so they can answer a question?
Oh, go on then.
I want to know, obviously not a lot of fans are accustomed to the Emirates, but I want fans' comments on what Derby Day was like when they were going to Highbury. You know, because they'll leave home and then they'll travel or whatever. What was it like coming to Highbury for the derby?
Well, I can tell
I'd
you
love
that.
Love to see that. And I'll
right.
And I'm going to try and reply or like as many as I can.
Why don't we ask them to put little videos on the Highbury Squad of how they feel or going to the match or something? Because
yes,
I think that would be really good, and then you can respond to them. But the thing is, we took it for granted, Kev, because all those years I went to Highbury, I never thought we'd leave. And then to the last 5 or 6 years when it was muted that we were going, I was like, really?
In the days of it, innit?
Yeah, it wasn't like for 20 years of my life discussing moving. And I never really appreciated Highbury until we left as much, or the last season, because I went every home game and every cup game and, you know, every game. So since I was 4 years old and to the age of God knows what. So you don't appreciate something till it's gone. You just don't. And now the Emirates, it's not the same. And as much
it
as
isn't.
They, no, it's not. It really isn't. And, you know, I sit too far from the pitch. I wasn't too far to shout at Kevin when he was running up and down in front of me.
Oh, bloody, I could hear your gob.
No, you couldn't. Shut up.
Easy.
That was Maria, not me.
Let me double down on that, Amanda, real quick. Let me double down on what Kev's saying. And I love how we're just carrying on, because you don't have to go and no one has to go. But let's just take this opportunity to just have a couple nostalgic moments. What is your favorite ever goal at a North London derby? I know there's one obvious one, but there might not be. What is your favourite ever?
Okay, now, there's probably many more than this that I can't remember, but one of them has to be Tony Adams when the donkey won the derby.
Yes.
So it has to be that. My worst ever goal against us was Gazza. I cried, and I'd never cry at football. And it went right. He took that penalty, that free kick to Seaman right in front of me. Sorry, he was just a bit to the left of me, but the ball's flight was right in front. I watched it, Kev, and I sobbed.
The FA Cup goal.
The FA Cup. Both of the goals were at Wembley that were the best and the worst for me, but there's probably so many more. Obviously, 1971. There has to be something to do with the double there. I mean, obviously, Roe Castle.
You took my friend.
Oh,
leave me alone.
I'm sorry. Because you know what my brain is doing now? It's working backwards. But there's probably hundreds, Kev. You know.
No, I know, but listen, you're just taking my time. Listen, Sophie, that was my favourite.
This is what happens when she thinks, Casey. We can't let her think. You've got to jump in first.
Look, it wasn't. Amanda, you were there. It wasn't the greatest goal, but if you remember, it was a tussle. We played them. We lost 1-0 at Highbury. Then we went to White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
We beat them there 2-1.
Yeah.
And then it was a toss of a coin for the replay.
Yeah.
They won it, so we had to go back there.
Yeah.
They were leading 1-0 from Clive Allen for ages. Ian Allenson.
Yeah.
Pulled the goal back, and it was like, wow, is this going to go to extra time or whatever? And then Rocky pops up with a goal. And I was a youth team player then, but they took me along as part of the group.
Amazing.
And I never forget that. For the first time for a North London derby, I was in the dressing room with the lads.
Oh, my God.
Seeing how they prepare and the jokes and all that. And then, you know, I saw the faces turn when it got to game time. And then you see them go out. I'm sat up in the stand. I see all the Spuds fans spitting hate at Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then to see the lads get that winner, and I was on the pitch. Oh my God. Let me tell you, that was the goal. That was my favorite.
Okay, wow. This is amazing. Mine was,
sorry. Can I just go back on Kev? Yeah, only because it's the same game. So in the first half, Kev, on the first game, or the replay, I cannot remember which one, and I know someone will tell me.
Was it the one at White Hart Lane?
Yes. That was
the second leg.
Right. When the announcer came over and said to Tottenham fans, how you get your final tickets.
Final tickets.
I looked at my cousin and I went, they're a bit cocky, aren't they? I was a teenager at the time. Like, I wasn't cocky. I said, they're a bit cocky, aren't they? I tell you what, I hope they've heard that in the changing rooms. Because I'll tell you something, if Arsenal did that, I'd be fuming at half-time against any team, right? And like, a few people went, I didn't hear it. I said, they bloody announced they had to get tickets. It's only halfway through the game, and the rest is history. Sorry, Kev, so I've got on.
Great history.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant stuff. I mean, obviously, the game where we clinched at White Hart Lane remains in our hearts forever. I think that's a given for every single Arsenal fan, right? But one of the goals I love the most is, do you remember the game where it was, I think it was in injury time, and Wrighty's on the flank and he's dribbling and he's trying to get past, I can't remember who the Tottenham defender is, but he's holding the ball and he's toying with him. And then all of a sudden he makes a turn and he crosses the ball and it goes so high. You actually think, holy cow, where's that going to land? But it lands at Dennis Bergkamp's feet. And then Dennis just touches the ball, literally one touch, and buries it right in the corner. And it was euphoric. I mean, the bench cleared. Everyone went nuts.
That was at Highbury, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Highbury. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it was just one of those Wrighty Bergkamp moments that is just absolutely poetic. And I don't know if there's been any, you know, people talk about David Silva. They talk about, you know, Gianfranco Zola. They talk about all these players. But Dennis Bergkamp's first touch, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in the Premier League. I mean, he could separate himself within seconds and make a defender look totally daft.
Yeah.
That goal, I loved it. But I loved it more so because of what Wrighty did on the flank And the fact that when he crossed it, it seemed like it was gone, but somehow Bergkamp gets it and ends up scoring. It was amazing.
We can't not mention Thierry Henry, his goal. We can't not mention that. See, the thing is, as you go back, you start to remember there has been many. I think it's a little bit unfair, young Sophie, to ask us for our favourite, because I couldn't give you my ultimate favourite one, because I remember going mental, many going. And in the 80s, when I used to sit with Spurs fans and we score and I can't move, because it started to get quite rough towards the mid-80s of doing that, in the late 80s. You couldn't do it. When I was younger, I could cheer as such. But there's many goals.
Ramsey had moments against Spurs too, hasn't he? I mean, yeah, Thierry's probably well up there. Pires has had his moments.
Do you know what I loved as well? Thomas Rizicki's goal at White Hart Lane. That was great.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
We spent 90 minutes defending and we won the game 1-0. See, I never remember any games, but I think that's what happened. We scored very early. Or was that Theo Walcott? I cannot remember. My brain is not great at stats.
Which game?
One of the games we scored very early at Tottenham, 5 minutes in, and then that was it, the whole game. We just held the score 1-0. Can't remember. It was at White Hart Lane. Not the new one, obviously, but the old one.
Yeah.
They're both shitholes anyway.
Toilet.
See, this is what I mean now. You're getting me in the mood now. So.
Vieira's
goal as well. I've
had my 150 orgasms. Now I'm ready for the match.
You're
I'm
ready
done.
For it now.
I'll never forget my cousins, who mostly support Spurs, when the Vieira Pires Henri years. I mean, they never, ever, they dreaded it. And I loved that time. That time, even when you and Wrighty were playing too, that, and you take it to that 90s and early 2000s Arsenal team, think about how long we've owned them, which is why, you know, when we were talking to Raul and Vinay, Amanda, and, you know, I mentioned Tottenham Hotspur to Vinay, and he's like, the penny dropped, you know, that these last 4 years have been painful, because when you have so much success and you experience that for year on year on year, and then all of a sudden the people you loathe the most in the sport are superseding you, it's painful. And it has been painful. But I think that we are, for the first time, maybe in a position where we can, you know, go back to being on top again. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, especially with our defense, but we really have been the superior team. And that's what I think has been the biggest struggle for Arsenal fans. The minute they started having the success is the minute the bottom dropped out of everything and everyone lost their marbles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just been hard to watch. But somehow, some way, we've always found a way to just always survive in these derbies, because we haven't lost too many to them. I mean, some people talk about Pochettino having it over Wenger. Did he really? Did Pochettino have it over Wenger?
No, I think the stat is
pretty even, right?
Since 2008, there's been like 35 derbies, and Spurs have won 9 or something. Only once in the Premier League at the Emirates.
I don't care. We're going to win
on Sunday. You've got 2 minutes left. I've got one more nostalgic question for you, because this is the kind of podcast that I wish could last forever and ever. Wait, if you could have one Arsenal player from the past to come into this game and play for us, who would it be?
Thierry Henry, Ian Wright, Kevin Campbell, Tony Adams, David Seaman, Lee Dixon, Patrick Vieira.
You know, I go for Vieira.
Yeah, Vieira. Or Adams. Yeah. You know, it'd be a tight one.
Yeah, but you know what? I picked Tony Adams probably later, so I'm going to go for Vieira on this one.
Oh, Robert Perez. He likes to play against them.
Wow, what magical players we have had on our team for so many years. And KC, you were definitely one of them. What a treasure to have you on the show and talk about these memories. And Amanda, who's a little bit older than me, having longer memories. and you know, Highbury was a very, very special place. And how lucky are we as fans when, especially you look at Bury and, you know, imagine if Arsenal wasn't there tomorrow. Imagine if
We will touch. Soph, we will touch on Bury and Bolton in the next podcast.
In our next podcast, for sure. Yeah. But our thoughts with the Bury fans.
Yep.
Our hearts go out to you. Thank you both for an amazing show. I love the dialogue and conversation today and all of the memories. And we will leave you with this. Hopefully we'll be victorious this weekend. And Amanda.
Always Arsenal.